Have you downloaded the free coloring sheet for this lesson? Click the link in our show notes to print and color along as you listen. And join the Nat Theo Club at the link in our show notes to receive a full lesson and activity guide and a bonus video of content every single week so you can dive deeper into each lesson. You also get access to all of our back content when you join. Explore God's wild and wonderful world in the Nat Theo Club at erinlynham.com/club or at the link in our show notes. Are you ready to explore God's wild and wonderful world? Welcome to the Nat Theo Podcast. I'm your host, Erin Lynham. I'm a certified master naturalist, Bible teacher, and author, and I am so excited to dive into God's written word, the Bible, and His created world with you. This lesson about light is dedicated to my dad, Alan. My dad loved sharing the light of God's truth, and he always inspired me to do the same. He always pointed me to the light of God's word and the wonders of God's creation. On December 5th, my dad suddenly went to be in the light of God's glory. I'm excited to one day be with him again and explore God's wild and wonderful new creation. This episode is in his honor. Listeners, I am so excited today as we embark on a one-month-long nature walk through the first chapter in the Bible, Genesis 1. We are going to discover how God set the stage for life. Have you ever been to a play or a live performance where there is a stage and set? Our family went to a live performance a few years ago, and I was amazed at all of the details that went into the stage and the lighting and the sound equipment and the props to make everything just right. God did something similar in Genesis 1, only he was not using props. He was using light, water, wind, the sun, plants, and things in nature that scientists would not discover for thousands of years. He was making everything just right as he set the stage for living creatures and for humans. As God prepared earth for animals and humans, he paid close attention to all the details to make sure that we can live and thrive and do well. Today, we are beginning right at the beginning with light. Here is our trail map.
Are you ready?
We will discover what is light and how do colors work? Where can we find light in nature and how is God light? Before we hit the trail, let's thank our sponsors who help make this lesson possible, including Sherwood Kids. We are over the moon excited to partner with Sherwood Kids, our family's favorite audio app for kids. We listen in the car during road trips or quick drives around town while running errands. And I love that I never have to worry about what my kids click play on. Sherwood Kids has a robust library of over 5,000 trusted and wholesome audiobooks, podcasts, ebooks, and read-alongs without any agendas attached. We also use it for homeschool with biographies, history, science, and classic stories playing while our kids work on art and hands-on projects. Save 20% and get a free speaker with an annual membership when you use the code NAT20, N-A-T-20, at sherwoodkids.com/NAT20 or at the link in our show notes. If you have ever wished your child's schoolwork felt more like a nature walk with Jesus than a stack of worksheets, that's exactly why our family loves Apologia curriculum. Apologia offers a Christ-centered, award-winning K-12 homeschool curriculum that helps kids learn, live, and defend the Christian faith. In our home, Apologia is a cornerstone of our science studies with astronomy, zoology, anatomy, and earth science. And they also offer math, Bible, language arts, and worldview courses. Their books are full of wonder with real-life photos, simple explanations, and hands-on experience that make you feel like a scientist exploring God's wild and wonderful world. Grow in faith, knowledge, and wonder with Apologia's full lineup of Christ-centered curriculum at apologia.com or at the link in our show notes. It's time for our trivia question. What color do we see when all the colors of light mix together? A, blue, B, white, C, black, or D, rainbow? Again, what color do we see when all the colors of light are mixed together? A, blue, B, white, C, black, or D, rainbow? Take a guess and we will find out at the end of today's lesson. And NatTheo Club members, after listening, press play on the bonus video where we will discover how God made complementary colors in nature and how you can go on a color hunt through creation. You can find that bonus video in your NatTheo Club dashboard or at the link in our show notes. Listeners, you can dive deeper with our weekly bonus videos, activity guides, and nature devotions when you join the NatTheo Club at the link in our show notes. Here's a recent review from one of our listeners. Hi, my name is Hadessa and I love this podcast. It's one of my favorites. Love you guys. Keep making more. Thank you so much for the encouraging review, Hadessa. I'm so glad you are enjoying the podcast. Listeners, please take a moment today to leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. You might just hear your review read on one of our episodes. All right, let's hit the trail.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good. He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day.
My son just read for you the first five verses in the Bible. Genesis 1, verses 1 to 5. Can you remember what the first three words were? In the beginning. This was Earth's beginning. But was it God's beginning? No, it was not. Psalm 92 says, "Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." So here in Genesis 1, this was our beginning, but not God's. God has no beginning. He has always been, and he will always be. And here we have a record of God's act of creation, when he decided to make a planet full of life. But before he filled it with life, he set it up just right to support life. And what did he begin with? Light. But what is light? Light is a bit tricky to understand. We cannot hold it in our hands. It does not weigh anything. It does not take up space like we cannot capture it in a bottle. It doesn't smell or taste like anything. But it travels and it has speed. In fact, light is the fastest thing that humans have ever measured. So what is it? Light is energy. So you can think of it kind of like power. When God said, "Let there be light," he was showing his power as he created a source of power, light. So light is energy that helps us see things. If you were to picture light as a shape, you could picture it like waves and like tiny pieces. Light travels in waves. Kind of like if you drop a pebble in water and little ripples travel out from it. Light is like that. It's little waves of energy. Light also travels in tiny parts called light photons, kind of like dust made from light. You can think of photons as tiny packets of energy that travel super fast, faster than anything else in the universe. When you turn on a flashlight, billions of photons zoom out in straight lines, lighting up everything they touch. So whenever you see sunlight, or a lamp, or even a glow-in-the-dark sticker, what you are really seeing is millions of tiny light photons bouncing around and bringing brightness to the world. When God said, "Let there be light," He created light to travel in waves and as tiny pieces so that it can do its job of lighting up the world around us. Why do you think God began setting the stage for life by making light? One reason is because He was about to create so many amazing and beautiful things, like mountains and rivers, giraffes and axolotls, honeybees and strawberries and sunflowers, and so many other creatures and humans with eyeballs. God wanted us to be able to see and enjoy everything that He made, so He created light to make it all visible. But how exactly does light help us see? It travels and it bounces. Remember that light has speed. It travels and it moves around. Have you ever turned on a flashlight? You probably have. How long did it take the light from that flashlight to travel to a wall or an object that you were pointing it toward? It probably seemed like only an instant. Or when you turn on a light switch in a room, the room immediately fills with light. Light travels incredibly fast, and it always travels at the same speed, which is 186,282 miles per second. But how fast is that? Let's pretend light is racing around the world. How long do you think it would take light to circle the Earth? A week? A day? An hour? Half an hour? It would take far less than 1 second. In fact, in 1 second, light could circle the Earth over 7 times. God made light super fast and also bouncy. Light bounces around like a bouncy ball or a basketball. When light is traveling and it hits an object, it bounces off that object and into our eyes. Once the light travels into your eyes, it sends messages to your brain to help you understand what you are seeing. And all this happens in an instant. God's designs are truly wild and wonderful. Light helps us see so well because light is made of colors. Does that surprise you? We often think of an object like a red apple as having color, or an orange butterfly or a blue dragonfly as having color. But the color that we see is created by light. Do you remember how light travels? It travels like waves, and it also bounces. Imagine you are out exploring God's wild and wonderful world, and you find a yellow flower. Light from the sun is shining down on that flower. Imagine all those light waves hitting the flower and bouncing off of it. Those light waves are made from different colors. The flower will absorb or kind of soak in some of the colors from the light, so you won't see those colors. But other colors from the light will bounce off the flower and into your eyes. Those are the colors that you see. So if you see a yellow flower, that means the flower is soaking up other colors from the light, such as blue and purple, so you don't see those. But yellow light is bouncing off the flower's petals and into your eyes, so you see yellow. What about if you're watching a monarch butterfly with beautiful orange wings? What color from the light do you think is bouncing off of the monarch butterfly's wings? It is orange because you see orange on the wings. It's kind of like how my dad used to eat gummy bears.
Huh?
Yes, how my dad ate gummy bears. My dad really enjoyed gummy bears, except for the yellow ones. If he was eating gummy bears, he would sometimes toss the yellow gummy bears out the window or into the trash. So all the colors of gummy bears were going into his body, except the yellow ones, which were rejected and tossed into a pile. Color is kind of like that. All the colors soak into an object, except some that are rejected and bounce back. And those are the ones that we see. So God created different materials in nature to absorb or soak in some color wavelengths and bounce back others. The colors that bounce off and into our eyes are the ones that we see. Do you have a favorite color? Where do you find your favorite color in nature? My favorite color is green, so I can find it all over in nature, especially during the spring and summer months. I see it in flower stems and grass, in leafy trees in the summer, and in pine trees all year round. I see my favorite color because the green light waves bounce off of these things and into my eyes. This amazing design of light allows us to enjoy so many beautiful colors as we explore God's wild and wonderful world. When God said, "Let there be light," He was also inventing all of the colors that would soon be visible in countless creatures and plants. So light is energy. It travels like little ripples called light waves, only very fast, and it is also made of tiny parts called light photons. And it is made of every color in the universe, helping us see colors all around us. But where do we see light in nature? Of course, we see it from the sun. The sun is the main way that God gives us light. In a few weeks, we will discover God's amazing designs in the sun and the many ways that God set the stage for life when He created the sun. But the sun is not the only source of light that God created. Where else can we find light in nature? Of course, we can see it at night in other stars besides the sun. But what about here on Earth? We can also see light in fire, which is a chemical reaction that creates light and heat and has been critical for humans throughout history, for light and warmth and for cooking. But where else do we see light? Have you ever heard of creatures that light up? Can you think of any? God created some creatures to create their own light, such as fireflies. I grew up in the state of Wisconsin, and my brother and sister and I loved chasing and catching flickering fireflies on summer nights. Creatures that create their own light do it through something called bioluminescence. Let's break that word down. Bio means life, and luminescence means light. So bioluminescence means living light. Fireflies create light through a chemical reaction inside of their bodies, kind of like a science experiment, mixing chemicals together. If you want to dive deeper into how exactly they create light, make sure to listen to Lesson 13, How Do Fireflies Light Up and Which Creatures Glow in the Dark? Other creatures that light up through bioluminescence include most jellyfish, a few species of sharks, glowworms, which are the babies of fireflies, the clusterwink snail, and the deep sea anglerfish. What I love about that last one, the deep sea anglerfish, is that it does not create its own light. It has a light-up fishing lure that extends off of its head that it uses to trick prey to come close so it can gobble up its next meal. But the light-up lure is made from other tiny bioluminescent bacteria. God did not only put bioluminescence, living light, inside of creatures. He also put it into fungus and algae. Mushrooms that create light are called foxfire, and a special type of algae in the ocean glows when it is disturbed by waves or boats, creating a stunning light show on the water's surface. The creatures that we just looked at create their own light, but some other creatures glow when light is shined on them. This is a different process called biofluorescence. They soak up sunlight or another kind of light and then shine it back out in a different color. It's kind of like wearing a white shirt under a black light. It looks like it's glowing, but only because the light is shining on it. Some creatures that glow under light through biofluorescence are certain types of scorpions, corals, fish, beetles, platypus, and flying squirrels. So bioluminescence is light created in creatures, and biofluorescence is light reflected from a creature. These are two ways that God made creatures to give off light. When God said, "Let there be light," He had plans not only to create the sun to give light, but also to tuck light into creatures and other living things. Listeners, what did we learn about light today? We learned that it travels in waves, it is made of tiny pieces called photons, and it has all the colors in the universe and helps us to see colors. But even though we know these things, light is still a bit of a mystery in science. Scientists have been studying light for thousands of years, and there are still many more questions to be answered. But when God said, "Let there be light," He knew in that instant exactly what it is and how it works. He knows every tiny detail about light and what it does. Light is not a mystery to God. And one reason for that is because God not only created light, God is light. 1 John 1:5 says, "God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all." Do you know what light is very good at? Light is very good at chasing away darkness. Light is always more powerful than darkness. We see that right in our main passage, Genesis 1. Before this passage mentions light, it talks about darkness. But listen closely and count how many times you hear the word light. Are you ready to count? "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day." In this passage, we hear about darkness first, but then we hear light mentioned 5 times. And what did God do with the darkness and the light? He separated them. In a few weeks, when we learn about the sun, we will see how God further separated light and darkness. But the main point is this: God's light overpowers darkness. The first thing God did was create light and use it to overpower darkness, and He is still doing the same today. John 1:5 says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overpowered it." Do you know what light this verse is talking about? It's talking about Jesus. One of Jesus' names in the Bible is light. He is God, and so He is light. This verse in John gives us another perspective on Genesis 1. It talks about Jesus being at creation and helping God create. Listen to verses 1 through 5. "In the beginning, there was the Word, Jesus. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were made by Him, and nothing was made without Him. In Him there was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light, Jesus, shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overpowered it." You see, listener, in the beginning, God said, "Let there be light," and Jesus was there. And God and Jesus, they not only created light, they are light. And their light overpowers any darkness. You see, sometimes the world around us can feel quite dark. Because of sin's curse, there is brokenness and sorrow and sickness and evil and troubles. But God's light shines brighter than all of these. If you have chosen to follow Jesus as your Savior, you will spend eternity in God's presence and His light. There will be no more darkness. Have you ever made that decision to follow Jesus as your Savior? If not, today is a great day to do that. It is the most important decision that you can ever make. I encourage you to talk with your parent or pastor or a trusted adult and ask them to help you talk with Jesus about following Him. And you can pray a simple prayer like this. Dear Jesus, I know I have done wrong things. I have been in darkness and separated from your light. I'm sorry for the ways I have disobeyed you. Thank you for dying on the cross and rising to new life, taking my punishment and giving me a way to have new eternal life. I choose to follow you as my Savior. Help me grow in your truth each day. Friend, if you have chosen to follow Jesus, I am celebrating with you. And I encourage you to talk with your parent or pastor or a trusted adult and ask them to help you understand how to follow Jesus as you grow in faith. If you have made this decision, then this scripture from 1 Peter 2:9 is for you. But you are a chosen people, royal priests, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. You were chosen to tell about the wonderful acts of God, who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. It's time to answer a question from one of our listeners. But before we do, parents and caregivers, I have something to share with you. I have been deeply impacted by the Compelled podcast, and I highly recommend it for parents and older kids to listen to together. The Compelled podcast shares true stories of real Christians whose lives have been completely transformed by Jesus. The episodes are told with immersive storytelling, almost like you're sitting in the room with the person sharing what God has done. Some stories are hard. People walking through suffering, loss, and very painful situations. But they always point to the hope we have in Christ. These are great conversation starters with middle schoolers and teenagers. You can find the Compelled podcast and start listening to these powerful testimonies at compelledpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. Here is today's listener question.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth, and I'm 5 years old. I live in Kentucky, and I want to know how and why crystals go underground. I love you. Goodbye.
Thank you for your question, Elizabeth. God designed everything to be made of atoms and molecules. When atoms or molecules are arranged in highly organized, repeating patterns, a crystal can be formed. Most crystals are formed when liquid hardens, becoming a solid. During this process, the atoms inside the liquid line up and stick together in patterns. Did you know that ice, salt, and sugar are all crystals? Crystals can form underground when magma or hot melted rock cools and hardens beneath the Earth's surface. As the magma hardens, atoms arrange themselves into organized patterns. The size of a crystal is determined by how quickly the magma hardens. If there is water nearby, the crystal can grow larger and more quickly. During the worldwide flood of Noah's day, the springs of the great deep burst forth, as Genesis 7:11 tells us. During this time, the Earth's crust broke apart, and there were probably some huge volcanic eruptions, causing lots of water and magma to rush over the Earth. This created the right conditions for many crystals to form very quickly. Thanks for your great question, Elizabeth. Stay curious about God's wild and wonderful world. And NatTheo Club members, remember after this lesson to click over to the bonus video, where we will discover how God created complementary colors in nature and how you can go on a color hunt in creation. You can find that bonus video at the link in our show notes or your NatTheo Club dashboard. It's time to answer our trivia question. What color do we see when all the colors of light mix together? A, blue, B, white, C, black, or D, rainbow? The answer is B, white. That is why light looks white to us, because it is made from all the colors. Now it's your turn to explore. Go find different colors in nature. Take a notebook and write down or draw what you see. Next to each thing, write which colors are bouncing off of it. As an example, you can find a green pine needle and write or color green next to it to show that green light waves are bouncing off the pine needle into your eyes. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this lesson on light, please take a moment to send it to a friend. And subscribe, rate, and review NatTheo wherever you listen. I'm so excited for you to join us next week when we continue exploring how God set the stage for life. Until next time, keep exploring God's wild and wonderful world. We are all